You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you again on another Saturday afternoon to our program we've called for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. And so we greet you and welcome you to this outreach ministry of Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Donna and I co-pastor this church here in Stuart, Florida, and we have for 21, going on almost 22 years now. And so we're honored to be here with you. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. And as we mentioned up front, that if you can't and you'd like to get a CD or a tape of what we talk about, all we ask for is a love offering. And you can make out a check to the ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And the address is Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. And the zip there is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. So maybe somebody would like to just give an offering, Pastor Donna, without receiving anything, just to keep us on the radio. Because this program's not free. We have to pay for this program. And so you ask the Lord what He'd have you to give, and you do that, and guess what? You will be blessed. Hallelujah. And this ministry will be blessed as well. So,
Amen. So we
honor you. We thank you for listening in again. Some of you today are listening. You've been listening for a lot of years. We talk to people all the time, and we find out that's been listening to this program for many, many years. And so we thank you for that. And some of you have been listening for a long time and never sent an offering in. Well, maybe God will speak to you today about doing that.
Amen.
And so anyway, we're honored to be here with you. And God has always supplied the need. He's paid for
always.
All these years, 17 plus years. And so we just trust Him, and so we obey Him. So we greet you in the love of the Lord, as we always tell you. And that's why we're here. We want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ. And we love people to grow in the things of God. And so we're in the last days, and we know that.
I think sometimes because we talk about WCNO and what a wonderful radio program it is. And actually, you know, WCNO is also on the internet, 24/7, music and teaching.
Yep.
And so you can listen to this broadcast, what we're going to do now. You can go on your internet and listen to it again tomorrow or sometime next week. And plus, there are several other 100 teachings that we've done that you can go and listen to. And sometimes people think, well, radio shows are free. But, you know, WCNO does not pay for this broadcast. We have to pay for it.
We have to pay for it, yeah.
So, but God has always supplied our needs, hasn't He?
Mm-hmm.
He's always been faithful and supplied our needs. So we just want to be a blessing to you out there. And when God gave us the direction to have it, He says it's called Raising the Standard. Because we need to raise the standard in the body of Christ.
We sure do.
Definitely. We need to. And the other thing I'd really like to clarify is some people look for us, and they look for us through Raising the Standard. Well, you can find us that way sometimes, but really the name of the ministry is Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And we're here in Stuart, Florida. And we do have church services here. And we gather together to have meetings and to worship the Lord.
Amen.
So, you know, the radio podcast is called Raising the Standard. Excuse me. But the ministry is Spirit of Prophecy. So if you're looking to come visit us, just, you know, Google Spirit of Prophecy, and it'll bring you right to us in Stuart, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to mention that we're just blessed to be here.
Amen. We sure are. And
We've been on for 17 plus years now, so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We're going to talk today a little bit about the Feast of Tabernacles. Donna's got another announcement to make here in a moment, too, that we're going to have happen here 2 weeks from today. But we'll just start on this, and she can pop in here a little bit when she wants to speak about this. And so,
well, I'd like to give our phone number.
Okay, well, I guess we can do that before we start. Yeah.
Some people always say you don't give the phone number often enough. Amen. Okay. So the phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's 772-285-7007.
Well, remember to mention at the end again.
Right, and we do have services, and we'll mention that again. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m., and we have Friday night services at 7 p.m., where we honor the Sabbath and the Shabbat, and not legalistically, but because the Lord gave us directions. We're a prophetic church, and so when God gives you a prophetic word, then you have to be obedient to it, just like the Bible Marathon is a prophetic vision the Lord gave us some 14 years ago. And this radio broadcast was also brought, given to us prophetically. God says, do this. So when God says, do something, you just need to be obedient and do it. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
So we are coming up on our 14th and 14th Bible Reading Marathon. And I just want to mention that we'll be having a dinner for those who have read and those who want to read. Mm-hmm. We'll have a dinner this month on the 25th.
2 weeks from today.
It's on a Saturday, and it's at 5 o'clock. But please RSVP, because people are calling in already. And so we can only handle so many people with food and all. So we just want to be a blessing. We do celebrate. It's like a Thanksgiving. It's a Thanksgiving.
Sure is.
And we do plan on that, and it's going to be the 25th. And so it's going to be a wonderful time. So just please give us a call if you'd like to RSVP. And we just appreciate that. If you'd like to come to services, give us a call. We'll give you directions on how to find us. We're Amen. Pretty easy to find here in Stuart, Florida. Amen?
So a lot of people's come and read over the years that we've never met, right, Pastor Donna? Because we can't stay down there all those 90 hours. We're down there quite a few hours. I'm usually there from about 8 in the morning till midnight. But a lot of people read at night and know that we've never met. So if they come to the dinner, I remember we did it last year.
They'll find out more about it.
And we got to meet some people that's read almost every year.
Every year.
To thank them and to talk with them and find out a little bit about them. It's like a family reunion all of a sudden.
Well, you know, a lot of the people who read too, they don't meet each other. They don't know each other.
That's right.
And people come from all different directions, different
Hallelujah.
Churches, different cities, different counties. We have
it's
people
wonderful.
Have come from different states to read the Bible. Of course, I'm going to mention that's going to start. That will begin on November the 19th, which is on a Wednesday night. So you can mark your calendar for that if you want to read for 15 minutes. We need, you know, it takes hundreds of people to read the entire Bible. It takes 5 days, day and night.
Yeah.
We're down there day and night. Well, we're not down there, you and I, completely day and night, thank God.
But
there's somebody here always there
That's right.
day and night. And we need helpers and we need churches to volunteer. And, you know, it's just it's a body of Christ. It's not
That's
just
right
one
is.
Church. It's the body. We're the body.
Yeah.
It's the body of Christ coming together to read the entire Bible outside on government property. Amen. We're facing Jerusalem, and it's just going to be, it's at the Bandshell in Stuart, and it's an awesome time, and God's word needs to go out. And
Amen.
So, you know, we're only going to do this at 2001.
That's when we started. We thought it was only going to be 1 year, didn't we?
God gave us the directions then, 2001. And what happened, you know, he says, continue. So when God tells you to continue until he says stop.
That's right.
So here we are now, 14 years down the road, you know.
Yeah.
And so here we are coming up with our 14th annual Bible Reading Marathon. And I don't believe there's been a Bible Reading Marathon that many years in any other city except Washington, D.C.
Right.
So we're just really blessed to be part of that. And
it'd be nice
so,
to happen all over the country, wouldn't
and
it?
And so are a lot of the people. You know, blessed to do that. And, of course, we helped start a Bible Marathon in Venice, Florida, and they're going to be having their, I think, their fifth
one, I think,
Bible Marathon.
And it's going to be in March.
In the spring.
They usually do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they need to be. We have them in Tallahassee. We need to have them all over. The Bible needs to be read, and, you know, when it just, it does something to the atmosphere, and the people come together, and it's exciting to be able to read. And, you know, that is the freedom that we have. And we all need to take advantage of that, you know. And if you're listening to us, you know, and you want to start a Bible Marathon, just give us a call. We'll help you to get started. We'll get you hooked up with the right people, and we'll help you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is an awesome, awesome time. And we're in the Feast of Tabernacles.
That's right.
And this weekend we have a tabernacle built in our church.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you've never seen a tabernacle or you don't know anything about the Feast of Tabernacle, come visit us, because you will be blessed. And the anointing is so powerful. And, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles is such an... We're going to talk about that right now. And you just want to stay tuned and listen, because you want to know about this Feast of Tabernacles, because it's a feast of... It's a time of joy.
It's not just a Jewish thing.
No, it's not. It's one of the feasts of the Lord. And it's Pastor Gene also talks about it in his commentary of all the feasts of the Lord, plus a lot more things in there, plus charts and all kinds of things. And I know a lot of you have his book, and I know a lot of you are blessed by it. And even some people are even taking the book and teaching it in their church.
Amen.
And, you know, the pastors are saying, oh, that's good, because, you know, it's not about a denomination. It's not about, you know, anybody. It could be in a Baptist church, any kind of church. Methodist Church, a Pentecostal Church, a Church Alliance Church, any kind of church, because it's about the feast of the Lord.
Amen.
And so some, a lot of people that have your commentary, they've taken it to their pastors or to their Bible study, and they are teaching this, and they're ordered and teaching it, because many, many more people are becoming interested in knowing about the feast of the Lord. And we need to know, because it shows us the appointed times of what's going to happen in the last days. And, you know, we're in the last days.
Sure are.
We just went and saw that movie,
Left Behind.
Well, you know, there are going to be some people left behind.
There'll be a lot of people
left behind.
If they're
not ready. And
that's right.
They're not ready. And so we don't want to be left behind. We want to be ready. You know, we're supposed to be ready. The book of Revelation says that we should be watching.
That's
and
right.
We should be ready. We should always be watching. We should always be ready. Because we don't know. We don't know. And we don't know when we're going to take our last breath. Every single breath that we have. And in fact, I think that's how people ought to think about it, because we don't know if we're going to wake up in the morning sometimes.
That's
you
right.
know?
We can die.
We don't know. Something could happen.
That's right.
And many people just, they think they're going to live forever, but you know, you never know. So you want to be ready all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Not just at a particular time, but
all the
time.
That's right. I was reminded of what Jesus said in the book of Luke. Mm-hmm. He said, pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are about to come upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man. Isn't that incredible?
Awesome.
Hallelujah. So, this is what this is about. So, we're going to talk about tabernacles today, because today happens to be the fourth day of tabernacles. So, remember, tabernacles last for seven days, and the eighth day is called Simchat Torah, which means rejoicing in the Torah. And that's a high Sabbath, that eighth day and all that.
So, what does the Torah, who's the Torah represent?
That's right.
Jesus.
Our Savior, our Redeemer. That's right.
We rejoice
in His Word.
It's His Word.
Then what the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, mm-hmm. and the Word, what? Was God. Hell, that's Him.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
So let's do that. I thought we'd show a little history on this. First of all, I want to go over to the first covenant. I don't like to call it the old covenant. It's the first covenant that was put in place. And God established these appointed times in Leviticus chapter 23 that we talked about last week. And there's actually eight of them, counting the Sabbath, okay? So we talked about trumpets last week and all that. So let's do this. I'm in chapter 23. Of the book of Leviticus.
My Bible just opens right to that page.
Right. It's stuck there, right? So now verses 23 and 24 and 25 of this is talking about trumpets. Now verse 26, now the topic changes. Now listen to this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this seventh month. Well, we've told you before, if you don't know the Jewish calendar, you know, God's a lunar calendar, you need to study it, because this 10th day of the seventh month is important. The seventh month is prophetically is the month of Tishri, all right? The month that we're in right now, and the 10th day this past week here, okay? Well, I mean this week, it is almost the past week.
Tishri.
The 10th of Tishri this year came on what? On October the 8th, when we had the blood moon. That was the first day of tabernacles, okay? So on the 10th day of the seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. And it shall be a holy convocation, means it's set apart unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
Actually, the 10th day was a week ago, Saturday.
That's right. So this is talking about what? The Day of Atonement. But we want to go on now and talk about the 5 days later, we come to what? We come to tabernacles, okay? So we talked a little bit about that last week, about the Day of Atonement and all that, and trumpets. Now I want to go down to verse 33, and we have a topic change here again now. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. So I mentioned the 10th of the month. I should have said the 15th of the month instead, when that blood moon came. It was on the first day of Tabernacles, which was on our calendar, was on Wednesday of last week. Okay? So that was what? The blood moon came. I hope you got to see it. We had a hard time seeing it because of the clouds and all that, but anyway, we saw part of it. So he said to them, to speak unto the children of Israel, in verse 34, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. See, it's 7 days. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. This means it was a high Sabbath. You shall do no servile work therein, where they weren't to work. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation. This is the one called Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah, the eighth day, and it's a high Sabbath also unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. So there's those two high Sabbaths. Now, verse 37, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings, which you give unto the Lord. Now he's going to go on about tabernacles. Also, in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, the 15th is the first day of what? Tabernacles. You shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. He's going to repeat it again. It's very important. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. So he makes it really clear. Excuse me here. And you shall take unto you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, the branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and the willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. So they're going to build a sukkah. We got one in the church for people that will come this weekend.
And you can go and you can sit in it
and pray and talk to the Lord.
Right.
Now verse 41 says, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute, see it says forever, not just for a few years, but forever. In your generations, you shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared in the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. So this is very important. So what was it for? Why does God want them to honor this every year? Because it's a memorial. It's a remembrance of what God did with them in the wilderness when they lived in those tents and all that, in those sukkahs. Amen? So it's a wonderful thing when we think about it. And we find out, if we think about it a little bit, you know, Jesus was, he wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a place where they keep animals in a feeding trough, it's called over there, okay? And so that thing was like a little sukkah. And so that's where he was born and all, with humble beginnings. But this day is so important. And we proved this before on our program, that Yeshua, according to the Word of God, I believe, he was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. That's incredible. And on the eighth day, which was rejoicing in the Torah, he was circumcised. So this is incredible how important this Feast of Tabernacles is all about. And then also we can prove in the New Testament, I've never heard it taught that way, but you can prove it. Yeshua started his ministry on the Feast of Tabernacles when he was water baptized and all that. It's incredible. So we can see all this. And so this was an important time. And so prophetically, it leads right into what? To the New Testament and what God was going to do with his son. Amen.
Beginning a new thing.
It was a beginning.
It's a beginning a new thing. Eight is the number of new beginnings.
That's right.
Yeshua, every Jewish boy is circumcised on the eighth day.
That's right.
According to the law, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If it's all possible. Mm-hmm. So here we have, it shows a picture of new beginnings. Jesus came and he was born. And he was circumcised on the eighth day.
Hallelujah.
And then it also refers to what's going to happen during the kingdom.
That's right.
It's a picture of the kingdom, mm-hmm. you know, and that time when we're going to be rejoicing with the Lord. Uh-huh. He is the Torah.
Amen.
He is the Word of God. It says, the Bible says that. He is the Word of God. And so what is the Torah? What's Torah mean? Teaching and instructions of the Lord.
God.
See, the Torah is not just a Jewish thing.
That's right.
No, it's has the teaching and instructions, and that's where our Bible comes from. That's why we use the King James Bible, because it comes from the
Masoretic text.
Of the Hebrew, and so we want to stay as close as we possibly can. We don't speak Hebrew. I wish we did speak Hebrew and understand everything. You know, that language, the enemy tried to destroy that language.
That's right.
And, you know, there's a lot of languages down through time that are dead languages, and they have to go, and they have a hard time figuring out what's on these tablets and stones,
right,
and trying to figure out what they say and all that. But, you know, here we have the Hebrew, and now it's a live
sure
language
is.
And we have, and how many Torahs are there? You know, we have a Torah in our congregation. We were given a Torah by a lovely couple, And
came from Israel too.
Came from Israel, and a lovely couple, and it sits there in the sanctuary there part. So we have this Torah, and we open it up all the time to the place where Moses took the children through
the Red Sea.
You know, there's a place there. It shows exactly, and you can tell it just
by looking
at the Bible.
It looks like the Bible's parted, doesn't it?
Looks, yeah, the way they made the letters and everything.
That's right.
And so we need to know a little bit of Hebrew, you know, if we possibly can.
Amen.
And that's why we offer these calendars. And a lot of people are calling and getting calendars, Pastor Gene.
It's good.
Because we do a calendar every month, and I have Hebrew letters on it, and we tell something about what we're teaching. There's a teaching on there. And it also has the Hebrew calendar, so you can actually tell. Like when the blood moon was, you know, it was on the 14th of Tishri, okay? And so you'll know, and then you can see exactly what date it was on. So, you know, and you can see when the new moons are, because they always go by the Jewish calendar, not by our calendar, but by the Jewish calendar. So it's good to know these things, you
Amen.
Know?
So let's do this now. I'm going to go over to the Renewed Testament, and then we're going to come back to the First Covenant. I want to go to Matthew chapter 25 mm-hmm. with you. Listen to this. We need to read this. And when I read this, I always think about America and how we have to deal with Israel. Verse 31 of chapter 25 of the book of Matthew says this, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels, holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." This is a Day of Atonement scripture. We talked about that last week, okay? Now, 32, verse, "And before him shall be gathered all nations." These are the Gentile nations. The Bible talks about that as well. "And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." So this is going to be a period from Tishri 10 to Tishri 15. Those 5 days leading up to the time called Tabernacles that we're talking about right now. So God's going to judge the nation. I believe the scriptures reveal this. He's going to judge all the nations between Tishri 10 and Tishri 15, the 5 days leading up to Tabernacles. And it says right here, he's going to gather all those nations, "And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." Now, I pray America is going to be a sheep nation, not a goat nation. Now, let's read this. "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That'll make you shout. "For I was a hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee the sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them." See, America has to take care of Israel. We really do. We need to take care of them during these times of trouble. He says, "Verily," in verse 40, "I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto to one of these," the least of these, think about it, "one of the least of these, my brethren," he says, "you have done it unto me." So I think about the 144,000 also be there during Jacob's trouble and all that. But he says, if you're willing to do this to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So when we minister to people, we're ministering to them, but we're also ministering on behalf of the Lord. Isn't it incredible, Pastor Tommy? Think about it.
Amen.
And then verse 41 is the best one. "Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from" who are on the left hand? The goat nations. "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for" what? "The devil and his angels." So hell was never prepared for a human being. It was prepared for the devil and his fallen angels. Amen? And so it goes on. He talks about this, about when they're hungry and all that. And I want to go to verse 45 then. He says, "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into" what? "Eternal life." So this is all in this chapter 25 of Matthew at the tail end of it. So the judgment of the nations will be done between Tishri 10 and 15, those 5 days leading up to the Feast of Tabernacles. It's incredible. So the Word of God clarifies so much if we'll just look and understand it. Now I want to do this. We've talked about this, showing that we have to defend Israel in these days, and we do. We need to be with them. That's why verse 40 talks about the least of these, my brethren. That means believers, and mainly also the Jewish people as well. "You have done it unto me." Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Amen. In fact, when I'm thinking about this, I think it's in the, let me see if I can find this real quick, and I want you to go to Zechariah chapter 14 with me, but I'm going to turn over, I think it's in the book of Micah. Let me see if I can find this real quick here for you. I didn't open up my book before we came on the program. I trust you're being blessed with what you hear here today, and that you're understanding what God wants you to know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Chapter 5 of the book of Micah. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I want to look at verse 3. And this refers to also, it's alluded to in Matthew chapter 25, verses 25 through 31, which we just read. It says this. God speaking here, therefore will I give them up until the time that she which traileth had brought forth. This is talking about during Jacob's trouble, birth pangs of the Messiah, when the Jews, many of the Jews will be birthed into the Messiah. Then the remnant of his brethren, hear this, the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Isn't that incredible? And I also think about the 144,000 as well. Amen. And it says, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. It's incredible. So we have another picture of this right here in the first covenant. It's revealed also in Matthew chapter 25, talking about the time between the Day of Atonement and Tabernacles, showing a time that God's going to judge the nations. Now, I want to go to Zechariah in the first covenant here. And I want to show you some things here. And we're going to read it. I'm going to do a little bit of reading here. And the answers to everything is to read the Word of God. Not my opinion so much, but what the Word of God says. And so I think I'm going to read probably the whole chapter of Zechariah chapter 14. It tells you the whole thing that's going to be at the end. Okay? Now, we're going to see the Feast of Tabernacles mentioned here several times. Are you ready?
Zechariah 14.
14. The very first verse says, behold, the day of the Lord comes. We're talking about Jacob's trouble is going to come.
It's at hand.
Yeah, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. That's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And the city shall be taken. What city? Jerusalem. And the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. These are the Gentile nations. Like right now, there's about 22 around them. They'd like to have them destroyed.
That's already happened, right, Pastor Gene?
Nope, this hasn't happened yet.
It was devastated. Jerusalem.
Yeah, it was a pattern of it when Titus with the Roman army came in and did that. Yeah,
that's right.
But that was one nation, not a whole bunch of nations, like we see here at the end. It was actually a kingdom, was it not a nation? It was a kingdom which included a lot of nations, I guess.
And God's going to protect Israel.
That's right. As when he fought in the day of battle. Now, verse 4 says this, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Yeshua is going to come back to the earth, hallelujah, on the Day of Atonement, okay? And then 5 days later, he's going to begin to what? Establish his kingdom on this earth. That's what Tabernacles is all about. And so it lasts for 7 days, okay? And we talked about this a lot. God's plan and purpose with this word and what he came to do with us on the earth was to restore mankind and the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. It'll be that when we come after what? After seven prophetic days, which are each seven periods of 1,000 years, each one of those days. Amen? So it'll be 6,000 years to the end of man's time, and then the seventh will be what? The kingdom, the last 1,000 years.
It'll last 1,000 years.
Right. It's going to last for 1,000 years. And so it says right here, that and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. This is on the Day of Atonement, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall what? Cleave in the midst thereof, hallelujah, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. So it's going to be an earthquake that's going to split it right down the middle, okay? All right? Glory be to God when he comes back. And we've talked about this a lot. You know, the Muslims have bricked up that eastern gate, also called the Golden Gate, thinking that's going to keep Jesus from coming through that gate. Well, I got news for you. There's going to be an earthquake. It'll take care of that as well. And maybe that mosque on the mountain as well, on God's holy mountain. Now, verse 5 says, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azazel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come. Hear this. And the Lord my God shall come, Zechariah said, and all the saints with thee. This is on the Day of Atonement. This is in Revelation chapter 19. We're going to be on our white horses. Hallelujah. And our white garments. And we're going to come back on those wonderful horses. And with God, with all of us, and also all of his holy angels. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light, so there won't be no darkness. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, or the eastern sea. What would that be, huh? That's the Dead Sea. And half of them toward the Hinder Sea, which is what? That one over there is the Mediterranean. In summer and in winter shall it be. Isn't that incredible? Now let's go on. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Isn't that incredible? Just to think about this, what's going to happen in this day. Glory be to God, huh? We can read in Ezekiel how the water is going to come out of the threshold of the throne. And the further out it got, the water, the deeper the water gets to control us and move us on with what the Lord wants us to do. It's an incredible vision here with all this. But this is actually going to happen now. All right, the vision that Ezekiel had was a prophetic word for what's going to happen in the last days. We know that as well. Now, verse 10. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate into the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Haniel unto the king's wine presses. Now, all men, and I'm sorry, thinking about all the men, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited when the Lord comes back. And that's what's going to happen. And all the Jews that will accept him at that time, they're going to be in safety from that point on as he establishes his kingdom. Amen. He'll divide those nations we talked about during those 5 days, and then the kingdom will be established. And think about it. You and I that are believers, we're going to be there to see this event on this earth. Isn't that incredible? And that temple will also be dedicated. I don't have the time to teach on this, but we can prove it in the scriptures. It's going to be dedicated just like it was in Antiochus Epiphanes' day with the Seleucids way back in Daniel. Chapter 11 and 12 over there. It's going to be dedicated the same way during the feast of Hanukkah. Wow. That's how Hanukkah was established, was with what? The Seleucids, with Antiochus Epiphanes the IV. And so there was a pattern to show us what's going to happen here again at the end. It will be there. I get excited thinking about it, that we will be there at the dedication of that temple that's going to be rebuilt in the kingdom. It's incredible. You want to jump up and shout thinking about it. I have a lot of just some imagination thinking about what it's going to be like. But we'll have the privilege to be there. We that walk with the Lord, that remnant that will stay with him day and night, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, walking in holiness and righteousness, not living the way the world does. We're in this world, but we're not part of this world. We must come out as Jesus spoke before and told us about that as well. And then Paul said, we cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. How can you have the things of God mixed with the devil and all that? We have to come out from among them. So we don't want to participate in those. I want to make sure in my heart that I'm going to be, I want to be there that day. I want to see that, what's going to happen. And you should all want that as well. That should give you an impetus in your heart to walk with the Lord. So if somebody's listening today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, you've been listening to things on TV and radio and all that, but remember, it's not about a denomination. It's not about some particular church.
Amen.
It's about a relationship. Amen. With Yod Heh Vav Heh, God Almighty.
Thank you, Lord.
Through his son Yeshua the Messiah. That's what it has to be. He's looking for a relationship, not churches. Don't get it. The church, it's not a church. Remember, when we get to heaven, there will be no compartments up there for different churches. You know, the Catholic Church, the Pentecostals, the Baptists, the Nazarenes, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, that will not be there. We'll all be one in the Lord. And so the premise for all of it to be there is what? To be with the Lord and having a relationship with him day by day, and we will be in that room. And I tell you, there's not anything on this earth that I'd want to have or do that I would even ever think about that would hinder me from standing in that place that day when we see this temple rededicated in heaven. I mean, on the earth after we all come back. We'll see the real temple one day come to this earth as well, as at the end of the millennial kingdom. It's going to come down the earth, and then everything will change. But there's going to be a glorious time on this earth for 1,000 years. And it's not too far away. But we've got to go through Jacob's trouble first. But we're not going to be here, hallelujah.
Not for Jacob's trouble.
We will not be here for Jacob's trouble.
We don't believe that.
We
will
don't believe that. The Bible makes it quite clear. The Bible says, we have never been appointed to God's wrath. And you know, people say, well, we're being persecuted now. We're going through this. Well, I got news for you. The persecution we have now is because the devil works through people and then he affects what people think and do, and they come against one another. We even have it in the church, the accuser of the brethren. We can be that ourselves.
And a lot of Christians are being persecuted.
That's
a
right.
lot of Christians are
That's
being
right.
put to death.
That's right.
You know, it's not happening here in America.
Hope it never comes.
But it's happening in other places where
That's
there
right.
are Christians are dying every day, every
That's
day
right.
for the gospel. They won't turn back. And of course, you know, but they're going to have, they're those martyrs that got, that the Bible talks about. They're around the throne saying, when? There are many martyrs, and there's going to be, I believe that God has, there's a number of martyrs that are going to happen before
right.
that happens. You know, but this is a joyful time, the
That's
Feast
right.
of Tabernacles. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most
dance in the streets
glorious,
and all that.
Glorious time. It says, verse 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, this is Yeshua, Jesus,
on the Feast
the
of
Lord
Tabernacles,
host, and to keep the Feast
of
Tabernacles.
So we're
going to
keep it forever. So why don't we enjoy it now, right?
So we need to know about these
That's
things,
right.
right? It's just like Passover, you know. The Jewish people do that every year. Well, at one point in time, Jesus had a Passover, and he told the people, his disciples, exactly what Passover was all about.
That's
it was
right.
about him.
That's right.
Well, the Feast of Tabernacles is also about Jesus.
That's
it's also
right.
about Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and King. So it says they're going to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the most joyful time.
That's right.
You know, when they build this tabernacle, and people right now in Israel and many people in other countries, Jewish people
mm-hmm.
or people who celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, they will have a sukkah, or it's like a, it's almost like an outside a canopy or a tent. They make it out of different things. It can be made out of all kinds of things. And the top is usually open. It has lattice up there at the top. And
yep.
maybe they put
so
palm
fronds the
up there
night?
So you can
yeah,
see the stars.
Yeah.
They, yes, if the weather is right, they can, you know, get the, make it real comfortable. You put a little table out there, eat out there, sleep out there. It's a time to look to the heavens, because from whence cometh our help. You know,
sure.
so many people I know, people who do this and who have tabernacles, maybe they have it on their porch, maybe they have it on a balcony. There's a lot of people in Jewish in Israel, you know, they live and they have balconies, so they have it outside there on their balcony.
Well, these big high rise places
they
that they
hang,
live in.
They
yeah.
hang fruit out there.
Yeah.
And they have honey and
they live in it.
They live in it. They sleep in it.
Yeah.
And they take their family out
it's
there.
It's wonderful.
They read the word of God there. They talk about these things because it says that we're to teach these things to. And remember these things and teach them to our children.
Amen.
From generation to generation. And so we're talking about the Lord. We're not just talking about a Jewish thing.
Sure.
We're talking about what God, a God that loves everyone.
Everybody.
It says that what? And this makes it quite clear where it's not just Jewish people. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations. Now,
That's
what
right.
does that mean?
All the Gentiles.
It means there's going to be people from every nation
mm-hmm.
that who have received the Lord. Will come and they will come up to Jerusalem. This is one of the seasons where people all come to Jerusalem. There's three seasons, Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles. They come to Jerusalem and it's a joyful time.
So it appears there's going to be some Gentile nations that's going to accept all this. Amen?
That's right.
What it says right here.
That's right.
So I was just talking to you, if you haven't accepted the Lord, you know, all you have to do is ask him to come into your heart, and
mm-hmm.
he'll come in. He'll forgive you your sins.
That's
and so
right.
he wants to do that with you. And so maybe this will just stir you up in your heart to know that you're not in the right place. Maybe you walked with the Lord back several years ago,
mm-hmm.
and something happened in your family, a divorce or a death or whatever, and you walked away from God. Now's the time to come back. Don't think about being left on this earth. Now I left off in verse 8. Let's read verse 9 now. It says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth.
All the earth.
In that day shall there be one Lord, and
one
his
Lord.
Name one. All the land shall be turned. I already read that. All right? I read that. Let's go to verse 12 now. We read verse 10 and 11. And verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Those nations that fight against the Messiah. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth.
That's pretty bad.
People think about an atomic bomb or something. God could do it himself, but I don't know how he's going to do it, but it says what's going to happen, and it's going to happen. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. Listen to this. They're going to turn on one another. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. Their tongues are going to consume too. Now here's the good part. Donna read verse 16.
It's going to be like in the day of Egypt, you know.
Donna read 16. Well, let's read it again. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations, the Gentile nations, mm-hmm. which came against Jerusalem, shall even go up from year to year to worship the King and the Lord of hosts and to keep what? The Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of lords, Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be what? No rain. It's not going to rain.
So this verse 16, it shows you that there's going to be some that, you know, all these nations are going to come against Jerusalem, but it's going to be some people who are going to realize
come to the Lord, yeah.
who the Lord really is.
That's right.
Amen.
And verse 18 said, and if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Go ahead, read the rest of it.
This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles.
Here we got Tabernacles mentioned again, yeah.
That's right.
Go on.
This is such an important
time of the year. That's right.
In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses, I can't wait to get my horse, holiness unto the Lord.
Well, and all in capital letters.
Holiness unto the Lord, Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Oh, that's holiness. Wow.
That's right.
Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. That's the Lord of warfare. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seetheth therein.
Seethe. That means to boil
mm-hmm.
or to cook.
And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanites in the house of the Lord of hosts.
I looked this up one time in the Hebrew. The word Canaanite here, it means a merchant or a trader. They were merchandising in the temple.
Remember? What did Jesus do? He
That's
threw
right.
them out, didn't he?
That's right. Remember what Nehemiah did when they were doing that, coming to the gate on the Sabbath. He
mm-hmm.
kicked them out.
They're not to do that on the Sabbath.
So we're going to honor this. Now, I was thinking about this. I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 66.
While you're going there, I remember when... Of course, we know Sunday is not the Sabbath. A lot of people say it is, but it's not the Sabbath.
That's
God doesn't change his numbers just because Jesus
came out
of the grave on a Sunday. Yes, he did come out of the grave on Sunday. And some people say, well, why do you have church on Sunday and on Friday and on Saturday? Mm-hmm. Well, there could be many reasons, but you know, we honor the Sabbath, which the Bible says to honor it and keep it holy. And
that's
he didn't
right.
mean that for just... during a certain time. He meant forever.
Forever.
He's always going to. He always means that.
He told the Jews forever, didn't
he? Seven is a very important number in God's numbering system. And so it means completeness. And so we want to complete. And he promised that we get rest. So I want to have rest for the rest of the week. So I honor the Sabbath. Not because I have to, but because I want to. And since we've been doing this for the number of years that we've been honoring the Sabbath, Gene, when the Lord directed us to do that, it was about 8 years now.
A little over eight years ago. Yeah.
And so, you know, the God has really strengthened us and given us rest.
That's right.
You know, and we're not young chickens, but you know, God promises rest. Everybody needs rest. Even the young people need rest to go on for the rest of the week. So when we honor God, we give him that rest. And then why do we do it on Sunday? Well, because Sunday, Jesus rose out of the grave on a Sunday, and it's the first day of the week. And so we honor that as well.
Amen.
And, you know, also it says every day is the Lord's.
Every day should be
the Lord's. So we don't just go to church on Sunday, on Saturday, or on Friday. You know what? The Lord's day is every day. Every day. We should give our life every day to the Lord. We don't live one way on a Sunday or a Friday or a Saturday. We should we're Christians, right? We are the church.
Amen.
So we are the church. We don't just go to church.
Yeah.
But we are the church.
Wherever we go.
We're
the church.
And so wherever we go, we should live like those who are of the church. And even in the New Testament, or when it says they went from house to house.
Holy and righteous, yes.
Day by day, breaking bread. And talking about the Lord and sharing and praying for each other. See, it's not just a one day. It's everyday life.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to go to Isaiah 66. This has got some more things very interesting over here. It's the last chapter in the book
of the Bible, yeah, the, Isaiah.
This last chapter, 66, is like the 66th book of the Bible. Amen?
That's right. Isaiah is like a little Bible.
All the chapters.
Chapter 66 relates to the book of Revelation.
That's right. It tells you what's going to happen. Now, for time's sake, I'm going to go over here to start in verse 15, showing what's going to happen at the end. God says through Isaiah, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke from flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be what? Many.
Many.
They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh." See, they were doing abomination to God. "And the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord." So we got to be walking with the Lord.
"For I know their works and their thoughts."
That's right.
"It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory."
So this word here, "and I know their works." So who would be the "their" here? I think it's the Gentiles, their works. Okay, he wants them to come. But they're going to come, and what? They shall come and see what? The God's glory.
Now, verse 9. You know, Pastor Gina, I read verse 15, and I think about we are a prophetic church here in Stuart, Florida, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and so prophecy comes forth from our church many times during worship. Somebody might have a word from the Lord. And I think about this verse 15 because the Lord has given me parts of this word here. He said that this year it would be like a whirlwind, and it's going to be like almost like as you think about a hurricane. Well, in the center of the hurricane, there's peace. Amen.
That's right.
And the Lord also spoke to me. He said he's going to salt his people with
fire.
So salt is good. Jesus talked about salt, but if salt loses its flavor, it's no good. It's to be trampled under feet.
That's right.
So this is a year of whirlwind. So if you're on the outskirts, or you're where all the destruction is happening, you're going to get caught up in that, and you're going to be become under attack by the enemy. But if you stay in the center where there's that peace, you're going to have the peace of God, and you won't be harmed. So here we have, the Lord says, it's like the Lord will come with fire. I believe the fire is, there's a good fire and there's also a bad fire.
That's right.
There's fire of destruction, yet there's the fire of the Lord when we're salted with fire.
To cleanse
us, He's going to cleanse us and bring us forth as gold and silver and pure and holy people. And there is chariots. You know, the Bible talks about chariots like whirlwinds. And to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. So that's destruction.
Amen.
But there's also a fire that's good.
Hallelujah.
You know? And for by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. God is pleading with all flesh to to him.
Hallelujah.
To come to him. And so here we have this year, 5775 is the Hebrew year, 5775. And so the Lord spoke to me. We have two sevens and two fives. So five is representative of
grace,
God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
So God spoke to me. He says, "I'm giving you double grace for this year, double grace." And then seven is the number of rest.
Right.
And it's also the number, it's the number of war. It represents a sword. See, the sword, many people are being killed by the sword.
Yeah.
In many countries.
They sure are.
It's even happened in America already, you know. Are being killed by the sword, by the enemy. So it represents warfare and also represents rest. So the Lord spoke to me. He says, and it's 5775.
Yeah.
Two fives and two sevens. Two hays, five is a hay. And so it also represents a window. See, God's given us, the hay represents a window. God's given us a period of time in this window. See, this past year was the door.
Mm-hmm.
2014 is the door. Well, we're not into 2015, but because we're looking at the Hebrew calendar, we're already into the next year, 5775.
So now we're going to look through a window, right?
So now we're looking through a window.
That's right.
And God's seeing us through a window.
Amen.
And he can see through a window, amen? He can see through anything. But a window is not as big as a door, is it?
Nope.
No. So there's a window of time. And the time is coming, getting shorter and shorter and shorter. But God, for this year, 5775, and also I believe for 2015, is God is giving us double grace for double warfare prayer. See, now warfare prayer is when you're worshiping the Lord, you don't have to go crazy and fighting the devil, but you'd have to stay in that peace. See, if you stay in the center of this whirlwind, you're not going to be in any destruction.
Safety.
You're going to be in peace. You're going to be in safety.
That's right.
So seven is a number of completion also. So the double seven is he's going to give us double rest.
Amen.
But if we don't take the double rest and use the double rest that God has given us, then we're going to get worn down because of the warfare. So see this fire. And so the God, Lord also said, and that's going to be the theme for the Bible Marathon, is that we're salted with fire. We are going to be salted with fire. See, that's what God says he's going to do to his people. Says that in the New Testament, not the Old Testament. I'm referring to what it says in the New Testament. He's going to salt us with fire.
That's right.
And because he wants to bring forth that purging and that cleansing, that we would be ready for the day of the Lord. Because the day of the Lord is at hand, and we don't know how much time we have, but we're on the last lap.
Yes, we are.
And you know, everybody, a lot of people in our church have been seeing horses.
Yeah.
Hearing horses.
Yeah.
See, the horses,
they're starting to snort a little bit, right?
They're stirring, they're out of the stable.
Yeah.
You know, their feet are they're stomping their feet. They're ready to go. See, God's gonna take care of this, all these things in the last times. So we have to learn how to rest and stay in his perfect peace.
Yes.
So this here, verse 15, is a word, I believe, for today.
Amen. Let's finish this chapter now. Now, we read verse 18, or Amen. 17, it's about the Gentiles. Now, 18 says, "For I know their works," these are the Gentiles, "and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all the nations, either Gentiles and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory." Now, here we go. "And I will set a sign among them," this is the them is the Gentiles, "and I will send those," this is Israel, "that escape of them," the Gentiles, "unto the nations," to nations in the world, "to Tarshish, Pool, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they," these are the Jewish people now, "and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles." Now listen to this. "And they," these are the Gentiles again, "shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all the nations upon horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Lord." So he's talking about bringing the Jews back, and there, a lot of them are coming back now, but there's going to be a lot more in the last days. "But to my holy mountain, Jerusalem," this is Mount Moriah, "saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests," listen to this, "and Levites, saith the Lord." That will be established in that temple during Jacob's trouble and all that. And so you'll see that if you read the book of Revelation a little bit, you can see some things that's going to happen there with Jacob's trouble and all. So there will be priests and Levites that will be in place. And you read Ezekiel also tells you what's going to happen in the millennial reign. There are going to be priests and Levites being used there as well. Now, verse 22, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." So it's going to be new heavens and new earth that are going to come after the 1,000-year reign on the earth. Hallelujah. "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." Hear this. "And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me," have sinned against the Lord, "for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." So God's got a promise for the people that will come and serve him. So we know this is alluding to the very end, and the tabernacles is very important because it's showing us this picture of the kingdom of God. So this is very incredible. So Isaiah touches on this. He doesn't mention the Feast of Tabernacles, but this is going to be at the end when the kingdom's going to be established. And so we have a great understanding here for you to know what God's going to do with all of us. While we're in chapter 66, listen to this. In verse 7 it says, "Before she travailed," this is Israel, "before she travailed, she brought forth." So how can you have a baby without travail? You can't. So this is talking about before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. This is talking about Yeshua, Messiah. Hallelujah, okay. "Who hath heard such a thing," the prophet says. "Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day?" The answer to that is yes. "Or shall a nation," in singular, Israel, "be born at once?" The answer is yes. When were they born? May 14th, 1948. "For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." So then it's referring also to the future, okay? The nation will be born, and then Zion talks about Israel. What? "For as soon as Zion travailed," during this is Jacob's trouble, "she brought forth," what? her children, the ones that God wants us to know. This is incredible. Amen? And we already took you to Micah. And then he says, shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth? The answer, no, he's going to bring it, isn't he? Saith the Lord. Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? No, he's not going to do that. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you that mourn for her, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, hear this, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck. You shall be born upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees, like a mother with a newborn baby, something freshly born. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. And then Donna just read verse 15. We'll close with this. Donna's probably got something. We've got a couple of minutes here, almost 3 minutes. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. Amen?
So it says, for by fire and by his sword, talking about the Lord's sword, will the Lord plead with all flesh.
That's right.
See, God is pleading. He is merciful. He is slow to anger. But he is just.
But he says also, and the slain of the Lord shall be what? Many. It tells us that over in the book of Revelation chapter 19. All the birds of prey are going to be called at that time to eat all the flesh that's been destroyed at Armageddon. So this is incredible. We have. So tabernacle is important.
It's very important. Verse 23 says, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath, here's the Sabbath again, right? Shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. God wants us to worship him.
So we'll
praise
be there.
The Lord.
We'll be there all the appointed times. We'll all be there. Every year we'll have to honor that. And if we don't, it says there's what? It's not going to rain
on our nation.
We don't come.
Well, we just thank the Lord for this time to be with you guys. And if you enjoy this program, give us a call and let us know. Say hi. You can reach us at area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. And we have services here in Stuart, Florida, Friday night and Saturday Bible school. We're starting a new series on called Boundaries.
Next week,
if you're interested in that.
Today we're going to show a video.
And we're having a video this afternoon at 4 o'clock and prayer at 6 o'clock. We pray at 6 o'clock and we will have Sunday morning service tomorrow at 10 a.m. And don't forget, if you're interested in the Bible Marathon Banquet Dinner, give us a call. You need to RSVP for that. It's going to be October 25th. That's a Saturday at 5 o'clock in the evening. So we're just blessed to be here.
Amen.
Amen.
So we love you. That's why we're on this program, to see people blessed and taught and raised up to a new level, to walk in a fresh dimension with the Lord.
Amen.
The deep things of God only come by the Spirit. And so as we close every week, we tell you we're on here because we truly love you. And so we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.